Your Facebook page will get traffic. Awesome. I am so excited to be here, and I don't think I need a microphone, but tell me if I'm not loud enough. But I like to walk a lot, and you guys in the front row. So sorry. So we are doing this theme. I love this, rooted and grounded in Christ. And we are going to spend the weekend together talking about that. I am a bag lady. I have a bag for everything. It was a little tricky to bring it on the airplane because I seriously thought my bag might not, you know, like I had a lot of stuff to get here. And I came on Thursday. It was really fun. So I left. I got up at 4 in the morning. That is not a time. Okay, I'm just saying. And so I drove from Greensboro to Raleigh, and I'm ready for the plane, and I'm like, woo, this is great. And then there's storms in Baltimore. Why I was flying to Baltimore, I'm not completely sure. But we were North Carolina, Baltimore to Missouri. Isn't that what I was doing? Yeah, that? Okay, so Baltimore, storms. So I missed my connection in Baltimore. And then they said, we're taking you to Florida. So, okay, I'm going to Orlando. Woo! I'm on the plane with all the Disney people. That was great. And they all got their t-shirts, and I'm like, am I going to get to Missouri? Like, I'm supposed to go to Missouri. Am I sure I'm getting there? Is this connection? Because they said something about Dallas. I was like, wait, am I going to Dallas, dude? What is this? And the whole time, I'm thinking, I shouldn't have checked that bag. I'm not sure it's going to make it to me. But it did. And I actually went from Orlando to Missouri. And I kept texting Robin. Okay, just wait. I'll get there soon. Sometime I'll be there. So it was fun. It was an adventure. And my suitcase made it. So, you know, you always feel better in the clothes that actually fit. Although I was kind of tempted with the idea of going shopping, right? For everything new. Like, ha! And I had been prepared. You see, that gets me back to my bag. I brought my bag with me. I had this bag. I had my notebook. I had the master copy of my notes. Now, the 40 copies that I had of those were in the suitcase. So I was like, oh, we can redo those. We can make that happen. That's all good. Right? So I love a bag. I have a bag for everything. And inside this bag, I can carry a lot of things. You know, we all, as ladies, carry identities. We have an identity. And we have a lot of identities. Right? I am a woman. Yeah. And I'm a mother. I'm a wife. I'm a daughter. And you have those identities too, right? We have all those identities. One identity that I carry is that of menopausal woman. See, I'm not sure you're going to put this on your Facebook page. I'm so sorry. But I'm prepared for menopausal woman. Now, first I have to tell all of you guys that are younger in the room. Oh. Yeah. I once was you. I once laughed and said, I will never be there. Uh-huh. And then I arrived. And so inside my bag, very important, I have fans. Okay, I have a necklace fan because everyone should have one of those. Oh my gosh, that's so heavenly. Okay. And but it doesn't go with my outfit, so I'm going to take that off. Okay, put it back in. And I have, I have the little fan that goes into my phone. Have you seen this? Because, you know, on the airplane, you could just be like, whoo. Little happy fan. Woo! Okay. And then I have also old school. I can go old school, right? I can just, you know, man-powered fan. I can do this. I do not love... I'm going to throw all those in there. Also, it's funny, when you travel on a plane, you bring the tiniest Bible known to man. So I'm going to put it out here as though I'm reading it, but I can't really see it. So I have large print notes, so just know it really does come from the Bible. Check me. But I was like, and this is the whole Bible. It's not just a New Testament, y'all. That is tiny, but travel size. So very helpful. I have a bag, and I have some of my identity in there, and that of menopausal woman is part of that. But I also carry some identity. I have struggles. Anybody have struggles? Right? And your life is not perfect. Ah! See? I can't keep my notes. Ha! But I have them three hole punched. So that was my place. I'm going to put this down. I have a book I'm going to read to you guys in a while, but hopefully I won't just mess it up. I'm good. Okay, so we have some, you know, some of the identities that we carry, that we wear, the hats that we wear are great, and some are not so great, right? We have struggles, we have things that happen in our lives that aren't so great. Oh, look, they're bringing a table in. They're bringing a table in for me. Felt the need. This is so great. Oh, thank you. Oh, look at this. I can spread out. This is great. Okay, I'm going. Y'all are so awesome. I could put my fan up here now and set it up. I could have brought a little stand fan. Not bring that one, but I own it. So we have some parts of our identity that are not great. So I carry an identity of daughter, but part of that story, and I'll share some of the things and stuff, are, you know, unloved daughter. So my mom really did not want me, and she showed that all through our life. So the part that Robin didn't share in meeting is we met when we were 14 and doing Christian Youth in Action and stuff, and it was great. We clicked. It was great. What she didn't tell you was all those crazy stories about my mother. Yeah. So I carry that. That's part of my identity. So part of that, like I, you know, that unloved part, it's amazing, and I am now 58, yeah, how much that will creep in. Anybody have experiences like that? That part of your identity where you're like, wait, no, I know Jesus. I'm free in Christ. No, I'm rejection, little rejection. I felt that rejection. She didn't really like me. I was like, what is that root? Oh, that root is in the fact that my mom really never loved me and didn't like me. Got it. Okay. So we're going to talk about some of those things this weekend and maybe some of those struggles, because I know I love to laugh. I love to have fun. That is a part of who I am. And it's fun. But I know sometimes when people look at the outside, they think, oh my goodness, that's so fun, right? She's so fun. No troubles, no struggles, no anything. And often when we look at someone's outsides and we compare them to our insides, that's where the struggle comes. Because just like on social media, right, we share the best parts of us. I always hold the camera up very high so that you don't see the double chin, right? And then you put the little filter on. And with my family, I show the best shots. I don't show you, you know, the picture of when we're all screaming in the car on the way to church, arguing, and then we walk in and go, hi, how are you? Fine. Fine. Have a blessed day. My husband did this on the way. Oh, you know, but that's how we all are. We've got these parts, these pieces. And if we are to be truly rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what he wants for us, we so must know first our identity. But before that, we have to know God's identity, who he is. We have to so know who God is that we can live out of that, because God is a good God and God is an incredibly incredible heavenly Father. He loves us so very much. And so we're going to spend some time looking at who God is, what our identity is, and then how in the world we live into that. And that's going to be our first session. That's where we go. So my story a little bit is, just so that you know, I was raised in a Christian home. My mom was the church organist. My dad was a deacon. And my sister and I, we grew up, when I was 6 years old, I came to know Christ as my Savior. It was great. It was kind of good. But, you know, my sister came home from church camp and she said, Kay, you're going to hell. So you better ask Jesus in your heart so you can go to heaven. Okay. I don't want to go to hell. Okay. So I go to my mom, who says, yeah, you got to pray a prayer. Okay. And I'm a little terrified. I'm six. You know, but I did pray a prayer. And it planted a seed. And even the crazy, being in children's ministry, that is not how I do children's ministry. Just saying. But for me, it was the beginning. Seeds were planted, and it was the beginning of a relationship with Christ. That was amazing. My childhood was difficult. So my mom was this amazing church organist, but I think she must have had her own struggles and her own things that were happening, and I did not understand that. As an adult, I do, and thinking, I don't know, but for whatever reason, she did not really love us girls. I don't think she wanted children. And so it was a struggle for her. So there was a lot of yelling and anger in our home. There was a lot of physical abuse, different things. You know, Saturday night was a scream fest, and we're getting in trouble, but Sunday morning, you know, we're all at church looking beautiful on the outside. and she's on the organ bench. And so that was part of my childhood. And I'm not sure why she never really loved her kids. I don't know. My mom, and I think there was a part of me that held out this hope, right? So someday she'll come to realize, oh my goodness, like, my daughter, she's really nice. She's fun. I like her. And there will be this moment of, you know, I'm so sorry. I don't know. This is what happened in my life. I don't know something, but I held out this picture that someday there would be this reconciliation. I always really did love you, Kay, because that kind of set the stage for a lot of rejection in my life and feelings and deepness. 5 years ago, my mom passed away. And, on the day she died, there's the whole story to that, but she did call me. She was in Wisconsin. I was in North Carolina. She did call on the phone, and my dad, you know, kind of was helping her with the phone and said, you know, she's probably not going to make it. She was in hospice, all those kinds of things, and it was a struggle, and I thought, yeah, you know, this is it. But the very last thing was yelling at me, I hate you, and throwing the phone. The next day she died. And there was no reconciliation. There was no beautiful moment. And I didn't know what to do with some of that. So I laughed. Was it 5 years ago? I was at your retreat with Tammy Smith. And we did the soul healing. Oh, y'all. And I took a retreat with my husband. And we spent a week in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia. In a cabin. Couldn't really hear the banjos, but there was, the power went out one night, and I was in the bathtub because I was like, oh, I'm relaxing in the bathtub. I'm going to die. And my husband, seriously, he has a big stick. Oh, yeah, not a real tree. Anyway, and, you know, he has it against the door like somebody's going to come in because, well, I've seen too many movies. I know it's not a power outage. Obviously, someone has cut the power lines and is coming to kill us, right? Oh man, but we worked through that book. That was revolutionary in my life. It really was. And to work through some of those things, those healing, because you know what? Here's the thing. God wants to do an incredible work. God loves each and every one of you and me, and he wants to do an incredible work in us. And you know what? Some of the stuff that happens wasn't his plan. It was not his plan. He is a sovereign God. He's amazing, but people make bad choices. And sometimes you are the recipient of someone's sinful choices. And maybe you're you're reaping the consequences of some of your own choices, right? Those things happen because God gives us choice. But oh, how he loves us and wants us to walk in freedom, even from those hurts, whatever they might be. And I know in your mind, right, you might not be able to relate to my story, but you already went to, oh, like this thing. I have that thing, this thing that's still there. And so maybe this weekend we can root some of that stuff out and really go deep with the Lord. So let's look, because it's so important. And I am going to look in scriptures. You've got some notes in front of you. There's a place to write some things. I've got all these scriptures. Look, I put them here, not in my tiny Bible that I can't read. but here we go. I want us to know that our identity is in Christ alone. But what in the world does that mean? And so we want to look at some of the things about who he is, because the first thing we need to understand is who God is. And he is unlike anyone or anything that we could ever know or imagine, right? He is one of a kind. He's unique. He's without comparison. And describing him is impossible, but we're going to try. And so I've got a whole list. Like, look, he is the creator of all things, Genesis tells us. He is infinite, Colossians tells us. He is never changing. The Bible word for that is immutable. It tells us in Malachi 3:6, he is self-sufficient. He has no needs. John 5:26 tells us. He is all-powerful. Bible word is omnipotent. Psalm 33:6. He is all-knowing. He's omniscient. Isaiah 46. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He is wise. He is faithful. Infinitely, unchangingly true, Deuteronomy tells us. He is good. He is kind and full of goodwill, Psalm 34:8 tells us. He is just. He's right and perfect in all he does, Deuteronomy tells us. He is merciful. He's compassionate and kind. He's gracious. He's inclined to spare the guilty, that verse says. Oh, Oh, we're all guilty, right? All guilty. And oh, he wants to extend grace, right? He's loving. 1 John 4 tells us he's holy. He's perfect. Revelation tells us he's glorious, beautiful, and great. It tells us in Habakkuk. Oh my goodness, do you capture this? Who he is? That is a huge, huge picture of God. And we don't have time to unpack all of these things. But I wanted to give them to you because maybe over the next days you can look at some of these scriptures and go, I'm going to meditate on that for a little while. I'm going to sit there for a little while. But I wanted us to go back and kind of dig out and dig a little deeper into some of the verses so that we can understand a little bit in our finite minds who God is and realize that actually we can never comprehend who God is, right? He's bigger. He is so much bigger. And so if we look in Romans 11:33, it says, oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. He is so wise, we cannot possibly understand. We cannot possibly, it says it in scripture, impossible for us to understand his decisions and his ways. Have you ever seen some of God's decisions and ways and thought, I don't understand? And sometimes you're like, wow, that's amazing. And sometimes it's like, okay, Lord, we're having a moment here because I do not understand. And he's okay with that too. We see David doing that a lot in the Psalms. Like there are moments when I think, I do not understand, but I trust you. Because you see, if I'm really rooted in Christ and who he is, I trust the God of the scriptures. I don't trust the circumstances. I don't always trust my feelings. Ooh. Or my feelings about the circumstances. Right? Ooh. I have a lot of feelings. You have a lot of feelings? Sometimes. I look at injustices in the world and I can get a little self-righteous. Yikes. And sometimes, of course, I don't see the big picture of all. As I think about my mom and I think about that moment that I thought we would come to reconciliation 5 years ago and it didn't happen. Here's the other part that I see 5 years later. The work that God has been doing in my heart, drawing me close to him as my heavenly father. Maybe earthly parents were not, you know, everything that they should be, but God. And so sometimes we don't see the whole picture in the moment. Maybe hindsight, we begin to see, okay, that's what God was doing there. Oh, see, he used that to draw me closer to him. Okay, all right. But here's the thing. There are some things that we don't see, and we might not ever see. What do we do with those? We trust God with them. A God that we don't understand his ways, but he is so huge, so important. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Whew, God loves us so much. There's a whole lot in there, and we say it a lot, right? God is love, but I need to love the way Christ loves. Ooh, that's a bigger thing. That's a bigger thing. And I think in this season of COVID, in this season of masks versus no masks and vaccines versus no vaccines and things, we as a society have gotten very unloving. It's hard to navigate this, isn't it? It's hard. Y'all, I don't know. And you'll probably see me wear a mask a lot. And I'm not making any political statement. I have a daughter at home who is in an extremely high-risk pregnancy. And the biggest risk to her is to go into early labor, preterm labor. And she could bleed and hemorrhage and die. They were at the doctors and they had to make choices. Okay, if she's bleeding out, who do we save, daughter or baby? That's an impossible choice, y'all. Y'all. Oh, I did a little Southern thing. But here's the thing. One thing we can do is we can try to wear masks and protect her and not bring anything to her. So that's what we're doing. We're wearing a lot of masks. And it has nothing to do with anything political and everything to do with loving my daughter and my little baby grandson Luke, who is going to be a Christmas baby, except he'll probably come a lot earlier. You see, we don't ever know the road that someone is walking. We don't know the hurts behind. We don't know all those things. And so as we love the way God loves, that's a picture of him. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. So let's love that way. The passage that I read goes on to say, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. See, it all begins with that relationship with him, that relationship with the Lord Jesus. It begins with salvation. And I know you probably know that, but let's remind ourselves. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, that's all of us, that he gave his only son. Why? Because of our sin, our sinful choices. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, how sin entered the world. And it did. And you know what? Before I go blaming Eve, which I like to blame Eve, right? But I'm like, oh, but I know Kay. I know her insides. She would have been the one that would have sinned or made a bad choice. And yeah, we're going to get into that. So sin enters the world and we have a problem with an all-loving but all-perfect God. And he says, I can't have that. But hey, listen, you sinned. You're the right. You're the one. You did that. And still I love you. So I'm providing a way of relationship with me, and that's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, my son, my perfect son, died, right? So God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him, and I love sign language for believe, right? It's not just knowledge in your head. And I think sometimes we end up with a lot of head knowledge, but believing is really believing with your whole heart. It's that. It's not, I prayed a prayer, I walked an aisle, I said a something, I did. It's a wholehearted decision. That whoever believes in him will not perish, will not be separated from God forever, but will have everlasting life, life that lasts forever in heaven. But it starts here because it starts in relationship with him. Oh, I love that. See, God didn't send his son just for a ticket to heaven. God sent his son for a relationship while we're here on earth, that we can bring glory to his name, we can love others and show others an incredibly loving heavenly father. That's why he came. So if we understand a snippet, a tiny little bit of who God is, at least we have a concept, we also need to understand then who we are in Christ, who we are. Oh, so important. And so here we go with a whole list. We are holy and blameless, Ephesians 1:4 says. Oh my goodness. We are redeemed through the blood of Jesus, Ephesians 1:7 says. Philippians 3:20 says we are an heir of heaven. Ephesians 2:10 says we are God's workmanship. Psalm 139:14 says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we are loved, says 1 John 4:10. We are rooted and grounded in love, Ephesians 3:17 says. We are more than conquerors, Romans. An overcomer, 1 John 5:4. We are healed, Psalm 137:3, and we are free. We are free, John 8:36. I love what the song that we sang. It was new to me, that opening song, and talking about freedom, who we are in Christ. I'm excited to learn that song. I'd not heard that before. Oh, this is who we are. This is who we are, but do we live this way? Do we really, really live this way? Or do we allow, you know, Satan to get those little, holy and blameless? I've seen that, whatever that is. We're God's workmanship. Really? He made this? I'm overweight. I have a double chin. I have this. I have that. I don't like my nose. And by the way, I have always thought my nose is very long. And I was not a fan of a long nose. Just saying, from the time I was a child, that's a ridiculous thing. God made me. Why do we get these funny little things, right? These little, I'm this. So do I really believe I'm God's workmanship, that he created me just the way I am? Do I walk in that? Do you walk in that? That's who we are, right? So we want to back up again and look at a couple of these verses a little bit more. But again, I mean, there is so much there. So much there. Whew. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I want to look there. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. A new life has begun. We are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone and we can let it go, right? Let it go. You know, right? But how often do we hang on? If you're really honest, what are you hanging on to? That's the old. How many times have you said, well, but that's just the way I am? Guilty. Right? And some things are our personality. That's true. God created us and we're unique. But some things we need to let go of. When I was in college, I was in InterVarsity ministry. You guys familiar with InterVarsity? Campus ministry and Christian. And I went to Urbana. It was a big, huge conference. And I met this guy that I had known through Moody, and then I met him while I was on tour in Florida with women's choir and stuff that I was in, and I really respected this guy. I thought he was really walking with the Lord. Plus, it didn't hurt that he was really handsome. And so I thought, you know, he's cute. Anyway, but I just really respected him. And here's the thing. I thought I was pretty funny most of the time. And one day he looked at me and he said, Kay, you know, sarcasm isn't very pretty on you. Ouch. And of course, the first reaction I had was, you know, a little defensive. Oh, who do you think you are? Tell me. You know, you think you're this leader in university. And then I had to take a little look and I thought, oh gosh, he's right. Those things that I thought were funny were probably hurtful. And a little bit of this and a little bit of that, they weren't great. The sarcasm wasn't pretty. And I had to try to let go of that. How many things do we have in our lives that we say, you know what, that's just me. And I would have said, I'm just sarcastic. And most people think I'm really funny. Except the ones that go home and cry, apparently, because of what I said or whatever. I mean, there are things in our lives that are the old, and we need to let them go and walk in the new that God has created and designed us to be, because we're forgiven and we don't have to carry all that sin, all that yuck. 1 John 5:4 says, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. We're overcomers. We are overcomers. Does this mean that life is perfect? No. No. There are a lot. In this world, you will have trouble, right? But we have overcome the world. We are overcomers in our own strength? Absolutely not. Through the Holy Spirit in us, living in and through us, as we submit to his authority in our lives, we can overcome these things. But we don't need to live in a place of defeatedness. And just, I'm always this way, and oh, my life is terrible. I know, I understand. And maybe your life has been really terrible. It's awful, I know. But do we want to live there and stay there for the rest of our lives? Is that what we want to pass on to the generations that come after us? Or do we want to break those generational curses and say, you know what? For me, we will live differently. I knew with my mom how difficult it was. My house was not fun. And so when I married my husband, Dan, who is very fun, one of the things that we wanted to do was create a fun household. It was really important to me that we would have fun. It was really important. And I have to tell you, okay, everything in me, sometimes, you know, when they were messy and the stuff came up, like everything in me wanted to go, put that away. Oh, my mother. I just wanted to come out. But I thought, no. You know, Dan would remind me, Kay, it's just paint. I can paint. I'm a good painter. Like, if we mess up the walls, it's just paint. Okay. All right. We can clean this up. Because I really wanted to break that. And I didn't understand at the time, as a young mom and married, I didn't understand I wanted to break a generational curse, that I wanted God to redeem what had been lost. I didn't understand that. But what I knew was I wanted it different for my precious kiddos. I wanted it different. So one of the things I wanted them to know is that I loved them no matter what they did, right or wrong. Now, I didn't always love what they did. I will tell some stories later, but not now. But I did not love what they did, but I loved them no matter what. And so I sang two songs to my kids every night. Okay, now that Robin told you I have a music degree, you're going to be like, seriously, you have a music degree? You're a singer. Because I'm going to sing for you, but they are not great. But I sang, I love you when you're happy. I love you when you're sad. I love you when you're good. I love you when you're bad. Love you all the time, no matter what you do. And that's why I sing this little song to you. I will remind you, I was not a composing major, because I know that is not great, but I just needed them to know as I rocked them to sleep. The other thing I sang was, Jesus loves you, Elizabeth. Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. And I went on to, Mommy loves you, Daddy loves you, all the people loves you. I wanted my kids to know they were loved. Fast forward a million years, my daughter is now 29, and she has two kids. This is one who's also pregnant. Little Gideon is 3, and Phoebe is almost 2. And they have these cool things. The picture monitor now. This is so great. In my world, it was only like you could hear them. Like, they could have been doing anything. I didn't know what they were doing in there, right? But they're like, sound nice. They sound good. Now I can like, whoo-hoo, look. Oh, Gideon. Oh, he's out of his bed. He's supposed to be napping. So now you see, and it's so great. But here's what I hear. I hear my daughter singing. Oh, you guys. Mommy loves you. I wept. Gets better. My 3-year-old grandson, Gideon, he has a buddy, Lion. Stuffed Lion goes everywhere. And he's rocking Lion in bed and singing, Jesus loves you. Loves you, Lion. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And I'm like, Jesus, the curses are broken. God is a good God. And so we might not be able to redeem the past, but he redeems the future. We don't have to always go down the roads. What happened here does not have to automatically say, define what happens in our future. Oh, and we dig our roots down deep and understand who we are in Christ. Oh my goodness, I wasn't going to cry, but I did. It's huge. We are overcomers. We can overcome those generational curses. Romans 8:37 says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We have victory over our past. See, I came prepared so I could do this. Okay. We have victory. A few verses later, in verse 35, it says, but who shall separate us from the love of Christ? See, because nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, but he does want us to live in victory over our sins, right? And because we have the Holy Spirit living within us, we can live victoriously. John 8:34-36 says, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free, you are truly free. We were meant to live as daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's how we're meant to live. Not the slave, the daughter. Whew, that brings a whole lot of power with it. So if we understand who God is, we have a glimpse of who we are in Christ. Here's the thing. How do we do that? How do we actually live that way? I mean, it's one thing to know it, right? Oh, yeah, I know all those verses. But how do we actually do that? And I would love to tell you that there's just like some magical answer. And then, you know, you just feel it. It's there. It just happens. I have not found that to be true. But here's what we need to do. So that we can live into that identity firmly rooted in Christ and know that we are enough. We're enough. The first thing we need to do is pray. Seems obvious, right? But how's your prayer life? Are we a God is great, God is good, let us thank him for the food kind of prayer? Are we a prayer that just comes with our list? Help everybody, this is blah, 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 I've got my checklist. Or is our prayer life more relational? And conversational? And do we come and bring the hurts? And do we bring the questions? Because God is big enough to handle our questions. Do we bring our doubts? because God can handle the doubts. So what is our prayer life like? So prayer is the first one. Prayer. Second thing is worship. Worship. And there's an old song, I bring you more than a song, because a song in itself is not what you require, right? So worship is not just a song, but it's a part of it. How do you worship? What songs do you play in your home? What's on your car radio? What are you worshiping? Do you spend time worshiping? And that can be a crazy, tricky thing, but that's so important because you see, worship is a weapon, a warfare weapon, right? When we worship and we are praising the Almighty Living God, Satan doesn't really like it. He doesn't really like it. The third thing is the Word of God. Oh, the Word, is it precious to you? Do you spend time every day in the Word? And okay, we're going to talk about this because if it outflows, right, from this relationship, it is not a checklist. It is not, I read my daily bread, check, good, I'm good to go. I read the verse. Oh, my first five app came up on my phone. Don't really have time to read the whole devotional, but I read the verse for the day. I'm good. And that's better than nothing. I agree, but do you have a love for the Word? And this is not, I have not always had a love for the Word. And that is a terrible thing to say when you have been in ministry for a million years. That is terrible. There were a lot of times when I'm preparing lessons and stuff, and it was a job. And I'm presenting lessons and I'm doing this, but did I have this love for the Word? Oh, and so what God has done in my life, and you know what, here's the thing. Just pray, just ask. Now, some of you might already be like, I love the Word. I can't even believe what she's talking about. And some of you might be going, oh, I feel so guilty right now. Don't. But ask God, God, I need a love for your Word. I need an understanding of your Word because you see, out of your Word flows life. That's so important. So it's the Word. And then we know that we are firmly rooted in Christ. We know that we are enough in Him when our knowledge and experience doesn't change what's true. What do I mean? Well, it doesn't change what's true. Sometimes my feelings... Oh, my feelings, they're all over the place. Truth is truth. Truth is in God's Word. This is true. This is who God is. Whether my experience right now is that God is really great and my life is awesome, no. God is still really great. My experience might not be awesome. And it's a conflict, but it's okay. And what happens, you know, when my experience doesn't match my knowledge? So the Bible, very important, but another very important author, Dr. Seuss. You can tell I'm a children's person, right? Congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have feet on your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own. And you'll know what you know. And you are the guy who'll decide where you go. You'll look up and down streets. Look them over with care. About some you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not so good street. And you may not find any you'll want to go down. In that case, of course, you'll go straight out of town. It's opener there. In the wide open air. Over there, things can happen, and frequently do, to people as brainy and footsie as you. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew, just go right along. It'll start happening too. Oh, the places you will go. You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang, and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't. Because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in the lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then that you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. You'll come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're dark. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? And if you go in, should you turn left or right? or right in three quarters, or maybe not quite, or go around back and sneak in from behind. Simple it's not, I'm afraid you'll find. For a mind maker upper to make up his mind, you can get so confused that you'll start in to race down long wheeled roads at a breaknecking pace and grind on for miles across weirdish wild space, headed, I fear, toward a most useless place, the waiting place. For people just waiting. Waiting for a train to go, or bus to come, a plane to go, the mail to come, the rain to go, phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or a no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting, waiting for the fish to bite, waiting for wind to fly a kite, waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. No! That's not for you. Somehow you'll escape all that waiting and staying, and you'll find the bright places where boom bands are playing. With banner flip-flapping, once more you'll ride high, ready for anything under the sky, ready because you're that kind of guy. Oh, the places you'll go. There is fun to be done. There are points to be scored. There are games to be won. And the magical things you can do with that ball will make you the winningest winner of all. Fame! You'll be famous! As famous can be, with the whole wide world watching you win on TV. Except when they don't, because sometimes they won't. I'm afraid that sometimes you'll play lonely games too. Games you can't win, because you'll play against you. All alone, whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet things that scare you right out of your pants. There are some down the road between hither and yon that can scare you so much you won't want to go on. But on you will go through the weather, though the weather be foul. On you will go, though your enemies prowl. On you will go, though the heckin' cracks howl. Onward up many a frightening creek, though your arms may get sore and your sneakers may leak. On and on you will hike, and I know you'll hike far and face up to your problems, whatever they are. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. So be sure when you step, step with care and great tact. And remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft. Oh, and never mix up your right foot from your left. Will you succeed? Yes. You will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. You'll move mountains. So, be your name Buxbaum or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai, Ali, Van Allen, O'Shea, you're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way. So can you, will you, walk with me? Walk in the way that he leads us to be. Walk in all that he made. Oh, please. He loves me. He loves you. Oh, can't you see? See if we can walk in the place of knowing that God loves us and who we are. A daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That changes everything. It changes everything. Everything. So in our closing moments here, I want to do something kind of crazy. And you've got the declarations in front of you, but I want you to stand to your feet. And I promise not to do anything too weird. I told Robin I wouldn't embarrass her, so we're good. But I want us to proclaim these declarations. I'm going to read it, and I want you to just say it after me. Here's the thing. It is truth. It is from God's word. So you don't need to say it timidly. And you don't need to say it like, you can say it with confidence. Whether or not it's manifesting in your life right now, okay, let God have that. But this is truth, so let's speak some truth over ourselves. Repeat after me. I am God's child.
I am God's child.
I am a daughter of the King.
I am a daughter of the King.
I have been bought with a price.
I have been bought with a price.
I belong to God.
I belong to God.
I have been forgiven of all my sins.
I have been forgiven of all my sins.
I am complete in Christ.
I am complete in Christ.
I am free from condemnation.
I am free from condemnation.
I cannot be separated from the love of God.
I cannot separated from the love of God.
The good work God has begun in me,
the good work God has begun in me,
will be completed.
Will be completed.
I have been chosen.
I have been chosen.
I am God's workmanship.
I am God's workmanship.
Created to do good things.
Created to do good things.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
That is who you are. That is who you are. Would you hold your hands out? Just in a posture of receiving. And I want to pray over you. And then that might be uncomfortable, but oh, God has so much. So hold out your hands in anticipation. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for each lady in this room. Oh, you have created each one of us unique. You love them so much. God, our identity is in you. And when we are rooted in who we are in you, oh, there's so much that can bloom. So I pray that each one would allow their roots to go deep so that the tree can grow tall. They bloom into all that you've created them to be, who you've designed them to be. Lord, I pray that we would know that we are new creations. The old is gone. Lord, we need to let go of some of the past things in our lives right now and allow you to do work in our hearts to bring us in a place of freedom, truly rooted and grounded in you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts and lives today, this weekend, and through the coming days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.